Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Be'ah Daf Lamed Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the Mishnah that you find the upper half of Daf Lamed Beis, 16 lines from the top. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading, the Nosei, where we've written Dugmois Shel Isur Asiyas Kelim B'Yomtiv. We'll see a few examples of the prohibition of manufacturing, of making, of forming vessels on Yom Tov. The first will involve a ner. A ner is in this case, a clay receptacle. We can call it an oil lamp, where a clump of ley is hollowed out to form a type of bowl, a receptacle, in which you'll place a wick and fill it with oil, and it will serve as a source of illumination, a candle, an oil lamp. The second item are pechomim. Pechomim is the formation of coals. The third example, chatichas psilos, it's the cutting of wicks. The Mishnah. Ein pochasin es haner mipnei shehu oise kli. One is not allowed to form an oil lamp, a ner, an oil lamp, out of clay, because that constitutes the making of a vessel. And you're not allowed to make vessels on Yom Tov. V'ein oisin pechomin b'Yom Tov. One is not allowed to make coals on Yom Tov. Coals, Rashi points out, were used by Tsarfezov, goldsmiths, in their craft. V'ein choytchin es hapsila. One is not allowed to cut a wick. The wick is also a vessel for lighting purposes. And in order for it to be useful for lighting, so it has to be formed in a certain way. So the Mishnah is saying you cannot form the wicks on Yom Tov. Rabbi Omer Chotcha Be'ur. This needs to be explained. The translation is you can cut it in the fire. But that is not clear. The Gemara will explain. The Gemara continues. Man Tano de Pchisas Ner Monohu. Who is the Tana that holds that the hollowing out of the clump of clay, even before it's hardened by being put in a kiln, in an oven, which is used for hardening clay vessels, our Mishnah seems to say that even before it's put in the kifshon, the expression you see is tsarfa b'kifshon, Brisa, that's upcoming source, you'll see this Lashon, Mishitzu, Sarfa B'Kifshon, means being fired up in a kiln. Our Mishnah suggests that even before it's fired up in the kiln, it has vessel status. After all, the Mishnah said, Mipneshu Osekli, that is the formation of a vessel. Now, structurally, you notice diamonds, and we have lettering Aleph and Beis. A few lines later, where the Beis appears in the middle of that line, Ikal Diamri is squiggle underline, introducing a second version. On the side of our Gemara, under the Mivneh heading, Aleph and Beis, Shnei Lishonos, B'divrei Rav Yosef, two versions, presenting Rav Yosef, La'anois La'she'ela, coming to answer the question, Man Tana de B'chisas Ner Monahu. So we have a question, who is the Tana that says that the hollowing out of the clump of clay to form a bowl for, as we say, for Ner purposes, that is a malacha vasiyas kli, that constitutes the making of a vessel. So there are two approaches of how to answer that question. We continue with the first. Omar Rav Yosef, Rabbi Meir he. First approach has Rav Yosef authoring our Mishnah by Rabbi Meir. Desanya kli feres meim osay mekabel tuma, a clay vessel. From what point in time, what stage of its manufacture is it susceptible to absorbing ritual impurity? We call tuma. Mishen nigmara malachto, divrei Rabbi Meir. From the point at which it's hollowed out, it is already susceptible to tumah. It might be necessary just to preface and say that a tumah susceptibility is characteristic only of something that has vessel status. Something that's pre-formed, pre-vessel, would not mekabel tumah, would not absorb tumah, would not absorb this ritual impurity. Therefore, when you see something being mekabel tumah, you know you're dealing with a vessel, a kli. So according to Rabbi Meir, at the point that it's hollowed out, even before it's put in the kiln, it has vessel status. And that's what our Mishnah was suggested. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Mishia Tzarfoy Bekivshan. Rabbi Yeshua, however, says that it's not considered a kli until it's fired up in the kiln, which strengthens and hardens the vessel. Omarlei Abaye. Abaye addresses Rav Yosef and says, Mimai, who says that this is the analysis? Rashi, if we look down into the lower part of the narrow lines, Umimai, Desvirale L'Rabbi Meir, Bener, Kishar, Kli, Cheres, who says that Rabbi Meir holds by the Ner like he would hold by other clay vessels. The source that we just read deals with other clay vessels. Bishlamo sh'ar clay cheres, granted other vessels. Rashi continues, gedolim hem, a large, v'im einon ruim l'mayim l'yayin l'dover lach neshe mimachon, if they have not been put in a kiln yet, and therefore they're not fit for holding liquids, because the liquid would erode the unhardened clay vessel. So good, the large clay vessel that's not in, that hasn't been put in the kiln, is going to be used, won't be used for liquids. Chazu mihu l'davar yavesh gom peros, it's useful for some, for non-liquid items. Fruits, for example. You can take a clay item that hasn't been fired up in a kiln, it's formed into a bowl, and put fruits in it, and it's useful. Avol ner, but when it comes to an oil lamp, kotanhu, it's small. V'chilo chozi lemilse, if it's not fit for serving as an oil lamp, for holding oil, which is a liquid, lamai chozi, what alternative use does it have? So why would Rabbi Meir say that an oil lamp, just by merely being hollowed out, is considered a kli? Rashi foreshadows the Gemara and says, "Umishani chazi libuli beipshiti." The small oil lamp, even if it's not fit for oil for its design purpose, it's fit for holding coins, small, solid, non-liquid articles or items. So we turn back to the Gemara. Amale Abaye, Mimai. The question is, as we saw in the Rashi, who is to say that Rabbi Meir, regarding General Klei Cheres, saying that you don't need it to be in the kiln in order to be considered a vessel, would say the same thing with regard to a Ner? Dilma ad kan lo koma rebeir hosam. Maybe Rabbi Meir, let's say, was stating his point of view that you don't need the kiln in order for it to become a vessel. That's ela de chazi lipuli beimidi. It's fit. They're large. Stam kli cheres, your standard clay vessels, are large. and they're useful for holding things. That's Ela Dechazi. Chazi means fit, Likibuli Bay, to receive, to hold within it, meaning something. Aval Hocha, but with regard to an oil lamp, which is small, Lamai Chazi, if it's not fit for holding oil, then what other use does it have? And as long as it hasn't been put in the kiln, it has no purpose, and as such it should not be considered a kli. So how can you say that our mission is authored by Rebbe Meir? The Gemara says, likbuli bei pshiti. It is fit for the unfired, the non-fired up clay oil lamp. True, it's not useful for oil. The oil is a liquid. It would erode the fresh clay, but you could put coins, pshit your coins, in this small clay, non-fired up vessel. So, Rabbi Yosef's approach is justified. Ika di Amri, Amar of Yosef, another approach to who is the author of our Mishnah, that a nair, just by being hollowed out, even before it's put into the kiln, is considered a vessel. Rabbi Elezer bar Rabbi Tzadok hi. It's in accordance with this Tana. Rabbi Elezer bar Tzadok, Disnan. We have a Tanaic source that features different kinds of vessels. Ilfisin charonios tahoiros ba'oil hameis utmeos b'maso hazov. These ilfisin charonios, Rashi points out that the Gemara will explain their types of plates of villagers, people that live in hamlets, that are people that aren't that concerned with the beauty of their vessels. They will use a clay plate, as long as it's been flattened out more or less and is useful for putting on it food, they'll use it even if it hasn't been hollowed out completely and placed in the kiln. So ilfsin charonios, they are, this source says, tahoros boil amase. They do not become tome in an oil amase in the same overshadowed area with a corpse, because they haven't been hollowed out, according to Rashi. And therefore, as they don't have a base kibul, and we're explaining this Gemara according to Rashi, Tosfos has a different approach, though. So, they're tahoros be'oil ames, in the context of corpse defilement, they don't become tomei. However, utmeos b'mas hazov, since they are functional, if a zav is a type of person, a man, a male, that happened to experience a certain type of emission that we call ziva, a person like that communicates tumma by even carrying vessels, items. Even if it's not, he doesn't have direct contact with it, but it's placed upon him, that's maso hazov. Since they have value or use as they are, that makes them susceptible to tumas hazav. Rebbe Elezer Reb Tzadok Oimer, af tahoros b'maso hazav, they do not become tomei through the zav form of tumo, lefi sheloi nigmara malachton. They haven't been hollowed out. So at this point, we see Rebbe Elezer Reb Tzadok telling you that items that haven't reached the real end stage of production, that as long as that is the case, so they are not they're not subject to the tumas hazav. Now, what do we see from this? Since they haven't been hollowed out, that's why they're not mekabel tumas hazav. However, if they would be hollowed out, that would make them subject to the tumah. Is that not what our Mishnah said by the Nair? So the Gemara, as we saw before, Abaye, he attacks Rav Yosef's analysis. Omale Abaye, Dilma, it could be Ad Kan Lo Komer Rav Elazar Rav Tzadok Hasam. It could be that Rav Elazar Rav Tzadok's ruling is said only over there by these large vessels, Ela Dechazilik Bulu Bemidi. They're fit for something, for holding something. Aval Hacha, but with regard to the Mishnah's case of Piches Esaner, which is a small oil lamp, Lamai Chazi, if they haven't been put in the kiln yet, just by hollowing them out, what are they useful for? Answer, they are useful. Likbule Bei Pshiti, for holding coins. So as we saw before, we see again Rav Yosef's explanation that Pchisa Sener alone makes it into a kli, could be in accordance with Rav Elazar Rav Tzadok, who we saw in this source dealing with the Ilfus in Charonius. Tonu Rabbanan. Ein pochasin esaner v'einoisin ilfasin charonius v'yom tov. One is not allowed to hollow out an oil lamp, nor make these ilfasin charonios on yom tov. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel matir b'ilfasin charonios. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel allows the making of the ilfasin charonios on yom tov. My charonios, what is that? Omer Rav Yehuda, Aronios. My Aronios, and what is Aronios? Omer Abaye, Tsari Chaklaisa. Tsoi are plates or bowls that are used by Chaklaisa, by farmers. As we saw before in the Rashi, we're dealing with items that are used by non-city dwellers, people who dwell in villages and hamlets that aren't that concerned with the beauty and niceness of their vessels. So, as we saw before, just to repeat, these tzoi chaklaisa were clay utensils that were used as long as they were as long as they reached a certain stage of their manufacture, of their production, they would already be used. And we explained before that you would have had a clump of clay, you'd start to form it, and even before it was hollowed out, these people would use them. As far as Kabbalah's Tumah is concerned, so we saw a bit of a discussion on that in the source above. We continue with a quote from that which we saw in the Mishnah, V'ein oisin pchomen. One is not allowed to make coals on Yom Tov. The Gemara says, Pshita, l'may chazi. Of course you're not allowed to make coals on Yom Tov. What are they useful for? Tony Rebbe Chia, lo nitzrcha elo lemoisran leulayren leboy bayom. The Mishnah is teaching me that you're not allowed to make coals even if your intention is to give them over to the ulayren. The ulayren were people that heated up bathhouses, so that even though the person is interested in bathing in hot water on Yom Tov, so you would say there's an element of Tzorech Yom Tov, there's a Yom Tov need, there's a Yom Tov, it's not, we're not dealing with production of coals for tomorrow for non-Yom Tov, but we're talking about making coals to give them over to the Ulayren, Lebo Bayom. The Gemara asks, would you have even thought that that's allowed? That you have to tell me it's not allowed? Lebo Bayom Mishari? And on that day, is one allowed to bathe in hot water? No, one is not allowed to bathe in hot water on Yom Tov. Rashi points out there was a gzeirah made in Masechah Shabbos, a rabbinic restriction on bathing in hot water, even if the hot water was heated up from before Shabbos, from before Yom Tov, and certainly to be heated up on Yom Tov day itself would not be allowed if you're heating up the water for bathing purposes. So what's the chiddush of the Mishnah that says Einos and Pchomin? Kid'omar Rava, as Rava says elsewhere, Lehazia v'kodem gzera, we're talking about coals that weren't used for boiling up water, but rather hot coals that simply produced heat. And heat produced in a closed room would be a type of called dry sauna, where people would go in to experience sweating, a sweat room. In other languages, it's referred to as a shvitz. So that's called lehazia. And kodem gzera, as time went on, there was an additional rabbinic restriction prohibiting even that. So, but this Mishnah, Hochanami, so to appear, as Rava said elsewhere, over here too in the Mishnah is talking about lehazia v'kodem gzera. It's talking about coals that were used for creating heat before the gzera, before the restriction of sweating on Shabbos and Yom Tov was imposed. So the Mishnah is telling me, true, if you had, let us say, a hot room that was heated up from before Yom Tov, you can go in there and experience the sauna phenomenon. You are nevertheless not allowed to make coals on Yom Tov for that heat production, heat source. V'ein chodchin es hapsila l'shnayim. Our Mishnah also taught that one is not allowed to cut a wick into two. My shno besakin delo. What is different about a knife that the Mishnah teaches it's osir, ein chodchin es hapsila, you can't cut the wick into two with a knife. Well, why not? We continue at the top of Omid Beis, the Komesake Mono, because you are thereby making a vessel. You had one long wick, and now you're making it into two. The two smaller wicks are what's useful for you. Before that, it wasn't useful, so you're making it into something useful for your purposes. That's called Mesake Mono, that's tantamount to making a vessel, and that's prohibited. Well, if that's the case, Be'ur Nami, taking, let us say, you have a two long wick, and I take, a candle or a match, and I burn it in the middle, thereby causing it to split into two, that's the same problem, isn't it? You're making a useful wick, you're making a vessel. So why does Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah teach, Chodcha Be'ur? He wouldn't allow making of vessels, even if you're doing it with a fire. It shouldn't be allowed. The Gemara answers, Toni Rabbi Chia, Chodcha Be'ur b'fi shtei neiros. We have to explain the setup over here. You have a too long wick. However, you have two oil lamps. The ends of this too long wick are placed into, each end is placed into a separate oil lamp. You then take a candle and light the two long wick, the two ends of which are each one in a separate oil lamp. The lamps are connected with this singular long wick. If you then light the wick in the middle, what happens? Well, you've basically lit simultaneously two oil lamps, and in the action of lighting the candles, the lamps, the oil lamps, which you're allowed to do on Yom Tov, you simultaneously, in fact, created the two wicks. So that this is allowed, because since your purpose is to light oil lamps, which is something that's allowed, so you simply are lighting the long wick in the middle. And it doesn't appear as if you are making a vessel. It appears that you're simply lighting your oil lamps, and hence it's allowed. But an isolated long wick, you would not be allowed to cut it with a knife and not allowed to burn it in the middle to form two wicks. As we go on in the Gemara, we have our topic heading. The nosei is psila, wicks. The double underline that will appear, and we have it explained in the mivne heading, sidras memrois shel Rav Noson bar Abba Omar Rav. So we'll see the same name appear several times down through till the middle of the Omid of Gemara, the same name and his appears with different comments. Omar Rav Noson bar Abba Omar Rav. Mochatin es apsila biyomtov. My mochatin says, he says you're allowed to mochatin a wick. What does mochatin mean? Omar Rav Chanina bar Shalmia, Raduye Chushcha. Raduye is to remove. Chushcha is charcoal that accumulates at the tip of a wick that was that had been burning and, let's say, was extinguished. You want to relight this. We'll call this used wick, and in order to get a bright light, you have to remove the charcoal accumulation from the tip, so you're allowed to do that on Yom Tov. Tony Bar Kapora, Shishadvarim Nemru B'Psila. 6 points were stated regarding wicks on Yom Tov. Shloisha Lahachmir, Shloisha Lahokel. 3 points of stringency and 3 points of leniency. Lahachmir, the points of stringency. 1. Ein goydlin oisa lechatchila biyomtov. One is not allowed to twist threads into forming a wick on yomtov. In other words, if you were interested in making a wick, so the twisting of the strands in order to make the wick at the outset on yomtov is forbidden. The ein mehavavin oisa beur. Mehavavin is a process where one who's interested in lighting a wick first lights it, gets it burning for a moment, and then blows it out, and then you relight it. That process is designed to make the to enable you to when you in fact want to light the wick. That's the you would do hivuv beforehand. You might do hivuv of the wick a while before you're interested in lighting it. So when you come to light it, it'll light instantly afterwards. Anyway, this process of lighting a wick and then blowing it out, readying it for its subsequent formal lighting, that hivuv, that initial burning and blowing out, is not allowed. The ein chotchin osa l'shnayim. You're not allowed to cut a wick into two. L'hokel. 3 points of leniency. Mimacho biyad. Mimacho biyad, Rashi says, tikun kilachar yadhud. It's a method of improving, of preparing or improving a wick in an unusual way. V'shura b'shemen, you can soak it in oil. V'cholcha b'ur b'fi shtei neros, and a too long wick, its ends placed into two oil lamps, can be lit in the middle, thereby forming two wicks as you are lighting it in the middle. V'omar av nosen bar abo, omar rav. This is a section of Gemara that doesn't deal with Yom Tov, but it is another comment made by the same author of Nosen Bar Abba. Now, on the side of the Gemara, the topic heading reads, Mi shechosu lo midas arachamim, someone who lacks the attribute of mercifulness, simin she'eno me'am Yisrael, it's a sign that he's not a member of the Jewish people. The Gemara, Omar v'Omar Rav Noson bar Abba Omar Rav Asirei Bavel Yorde Gehenim Heim. The rich people of Babylonia are destined to descend into purgatory. Rashi, Yorde Genem Heim, She'enom Rachamim Lasos Sukkah. They don't exhibit mercifulness in performing charity. In other words, they don't give tzedakah. And a long incident appears. You can see we have a long Maisa marking. Kiha de Shapsai Bar Merenus Iklo de Bovel. This gentleman Shapsai went to the Iklo. He went to Bovel. Ba Minayo Iska. He sought out from them Iska. This is an arrangement where a person, in exchange for his efforts to sell items, he receives a portion of this item sold as profit, selling things on consignment. So this gentleman sought out products, items to sell in Bovel. He sought out the local resident. Someone in the community would provide him with the articles, with the items, and he would sell and split the profits with the owner. Velo Yahavule, no one offered him any items for sale. Mizoni, he sought out food. Mezen Nami Lo Zinuhu, they didn't offer him meals either. Omar Shoshabsai concluded, Hani Me'eruv Rav, because these come from the Eruv Rav. The Eruv Rav is a reference to non-Jews who joined up with the Jewish people upon their exodus from Egypt. They are the mixed multitudes, if you want a literal translation. So they are these people in Bovel who appear to be members of the Jewish community are nevertheless, in the eyes of Shapsai Bamrenus, they are obviously not with Jewish souls. There may Erav Rav Ka'asu Dichtiv. The Pasuk says, V'nosan L'cho Rachamim V'richamecha. And from this we derive, Kol Amarachim Alabrios, anyone who exhibits mercy on people, B'yodua Shu Mizaro Shel Avraham Avinu. It should be known that he comes from the offspring, from the seed of our patriarch Avraham. V'chol mi she'enom rachim al abrios b'yodua she'eno mizaro shel Avraham Avinu. Anyone who has no mercy on people, it shall be known. Let it be known that he is not from that origin. V'omar Rav Noson bar Abba Omar Rav kol hametzapal shulchan achirim. Anyone who is dependent on others for their maintenance. Mitzapa literally has to do with one who looks forward to, but one who, it means for our purposes, one who is dependent on others. Number one, Olam Choshech Ba'ado. The world is dark for him. Shenemar Nodeid Hu Lalechem Ayei Yoda Ki Nochon Biodo Yoim Choshech. Some of the Pasuk says that one who wanders around for bread, who seeks out bread, where can I get support? So, he knows that he has a day of darkness prepared for him. Rav Chisda Omar Af Chayov Einon Chayim. His life is no life. Tonu Rabbanan Gimel Chayim Einon Chayim. There are three whose lives are not living. V'Elohein. One Hametzapa Shulchan Chavero. One who is dependent on others, umishi ishtoi moshelis olav, one who is ruled over by his wife. Number three, umishi yisurin moshlin begufo, and someone who is afflicted with pain, with body pain. V'yesh omrim af mi she'ein lo ela choluk echad. Another opinion says someone who has only one article of clothing. Rashi explains the problem is that he can't wash it. He can't wash his clothing. He'd otherwise be naked. And in the course of time, kinim, lice, start accumulating on the clothing, unwashed clothing, and afflict him. Now, in this source, the issue of the choluk echod was reported only as a second opinion. The Tanakama didn't mention this. The Tanakama. Why does he not consider Mishen El Cholok Echon an example of Chayim Einu Chayim? Efshir de ma'ayin b'monei. He can focus on his clothing and remove the lice. He can manually remove the lice and live that way without the pain inflicted by these creatures. We continue with more examples of making vessels on Yom Tov. Ein shovrim esacheres v'ein chotchim hanior litzlois boi maliach. Maliach is fish. It's a reference to fish or salted fish. And there was a practice of let's say grilling on a metal grill maliach, these fish. The problem is that putting fish directly on burning hot metal, on a burning hot metal surface, the fish would burn. So in order to get the benefit of the heat and also not be burnt, substances were placed directly on the grill and the fish on top of these. And these are, this is what you see here in the Mishnah, the shards, the shovrin esacheres, breaking of clay vessels, and the cutting of nior, referred to as paper or papyrus, where these items were placed directly on the grill and the fish upon them. Of course, the paper, you'll say, well, it's going to burn instantly. So Rashi adds the paper would be soaked in water, and hence retarding their burning. In the meantime, the fish would be grilled. So the preparation of the shards and the water for this purpose is not allowed on Yom Tov. The Mishnah continues, V'ein gorfin tanur v'kirayim avol mechabshin. Tanur v'kirayim, different baking devices, call them stoves. The stoves were lined we're talking about clay stoves that were lined with bricks and cement. At times, the inside walls would be uneven and rough. We should just point out that bread was baked by slapping dough onto smooth inner walls of the ovens. So if the oven inner wall became uneven or rough, you'd have to scrape it out. You'd have to smooth it down. Now this process is called gorfin. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov. However, Avol Mechabshin, this is a situation where if the floor of the oven became laden with ash and dirt, in order to bake on the floor of the oven, you would have to smooth down or compress the accumulation of ash that's on the floor. So that compression is something one would be allowed to do. The Rashi says, "Mechabshin mashkiven es ha'efer ve'ofer she'chalak." Chalak means smooth. Mashpilo mashveu. It means to lower it and make it in a level surface, smooth. Shloiga bepas shemedubokin bedefanosav v'yisrafu. If you had inner walls of the oven that were smooth. The problem, though, is that you had a pile of ash on the floor of the oven, and that would ruin the bread if it came into contact with the bread. You're allowed to smooth down, to lower and smooth out the pile of ash that's on the floor of the oven so that the bread doesn't come into contact with it. So this process is called mechabshin. You're allowed to do that on Yom Tov. V'ein makifin shtei chovios lishvois aleim esagdera. Makifin is to draw two items near to one another. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to draw two barrels close to one another with the intention of eventually putting a pot on the two barrels, on the top between the two barrels, where there's a gap between the two barrels, and the pot's placed upon the two barrels with the gap underneath the pot, and then a fire would ordinarily be placed in that gap between the two barrels. So what the Mishnah is saying, you're not allowed to set up the two barrels in that fashion on Yom Tov. And we'll have to see why that's a problem. The problem is, Rashi says, it appears like Meleches Binyan. It looks like after you put the two barrels in position, you've now built the sides of a structure, and the placing of the pot on the top would be like completing its roof. So since it looks like Binyan, there's an Isur Durabonon in doing this. V'ein, the Mishnah goes on, V'ein somchenes hakadera v'bakas v'chein bedeles. One is not allowed to place a pot on a log. The log is designed for burning purposes, for fuel. And therefore, using it, and we'll have to assume there's movement involved here of moving the log around for the purpose of placing a pot on it, this would not be allowed. It's muktzah. So all use of wood other than for fuel purposes is not allowed. And now the Mishnah adds, it says, v'chein bedeles. Right now it sounds as if it means, and likewise, you're not allowed to place a pot on a door. That will be dealt with later in the Gemara. Another restriction, v'ein manhigin es habehema b'makil b'yom tov. One is not allowed to lead an animal in a public thoroughfare using a stick on Yom Tov. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon Matir. Rabbi Elazar says you can lead the animal using the stick. This too will have to be explained by the Gemara. Regarding the Shviras Acheres that we had there in the Mishnah, my Taimo, why is that prohibited? Answer, Mishum de Komisake Mona, because by doing that you're making a vessel. In other words, on the surface it looks like you're just smashing a clay vessel. But the problem here is that through the smashing of the vessel, you're now making something else that has use for you. As we said before, it would be placed across the top of a grill in order to keep the fish from burning. So that is, one is not allowed to form vessels or useful articles on Yom Tov. V'ein gorfim tanur v'kirayim. We saw that as well. Not allowed to scrape out the stoves. Toni Rav Chiya bar Yosef kamei de Rav Nachman. V'im yefshor lefois elo im kein gorfo. If there is no other way to bake, unless you scrape out the sides of the oven, the inside walls of the oven, mutter, then it would be allowed. Rashi points out that this Mishnah is in accordance with the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda, who says that not only is Meleches Oichel Nefesh allowed, cooking and baking, but Machshire Oichel Nefesh is allowed as well. That means to form vessels or prepare vessels, enable vessels to be functional, vessels that are food related, for the vessels used in the preparation of food. That's called Machshire Ochel Nefesh, and he allows even that. And scraping out the inside of the oven enables the oven to become useful for the food preparation. The Visu de Reb Chiya Nofal Lo Aricha B'Tanura B'Yom Tova. The Visu is the wife of Reb Chiya. Aricha is a brick. A brick from the oven wall fell on Yom Tov. Amar Lo Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya says to his wife, Chazi Dano Rifta Ma'al Yisabu'ina. Make sure that things work out well, because I insist on having good bread. So now, what is he telling her? He's in effect telling her, scrape out the inside wall of the oven, being that the brick became dislodged, so the oven wall is now uneven. So fix it so that it has a smooth wall so that the bread comes out well. Omerle Rava Lishame. Rava says to his servant, Tavi li avza. Roast for me an avza is a type of bird, a fowl. Ve'izdaher mecharucha. And be careful that it doesn't become singed. And what he is trying to say is scrape out the insides of the oven so that it roasts well. Rashi, Vizdar Mecharucha, on the second line under the Gemara text, he says, Shelo Yischarech, that it shouldn't become burnt. Kloma Groif Esatanar, scrape out the Tanur Shelehebo, Beshulav Dover Gavoa, Kemo Ariach, O Evan, Shehusak, Betanah, Shenege, Betzli, Vesorfo. There should be nothing protruding up from the bottom of the oven that would come into contact with the bird when it's roasting and burn it. So just like we saw with regard to the Devisu, the Rebbe Chia, so too with regard to Rava. Both are instructing for Grefas HaTanor. Amarle Ravina LeRavashi. Ravina tells Ravashi the following. Omar lon Rav Acha mihutzal. Rav Acha told us, the more, that means you, Ravashi, the more sharkin le tanura biyomatova. Sharkin is the process of sealing the entrance to an oven. There are certain types of foods that are very sensitive to winds, and in order to ensure the proper roasting or baking of the item, the oven needs to be sealed up. And that would be done by sealing the lid or the cover with a rim of clay around the opening. So now this process involves taking clay and as we said, sealing up the opening to the oven. Appears unusual in the eyes of Ravina. How could you possibly do that on Yom Tov? In other words, this would involve taking dirt and kneading it into clay, and that is a problem. What we call that gibel tit, preparing the clay, is a tolda of lisha, an example, a byproduct of the malocha of lisha, of kneading dough. That's lisha, and gibel tit is the equivalent when it comes to making clay. So the question is, how can you be sealing up your oven on Yom Tov when it involves the making of clay, and that's not allowed to be done on Yom Tov? Omar Le, Ravashi answers, Anana Rakso de Poras Samchinon. We are located on the banks of the Euphrates River. Samchina literally is we rely upon. So we rely upon the mud that's found on the banks of the Pras River. And that doesn't need to be kneaded. It's like ready-made clay. And that's what I use for sealing up the oven. Vahani mili de tsairei me'esmol. The permission to use the clay, the mud, along the banks of the Pras River is if you designated, tsairei is you specified, you designated the area by making a sign in the mud that I am taking from here. And Rashi says, also by simen v'niskei l'tzad acher, you made some type of sign and moved the mud over to the other side. But there has to be some type of physical designation in order for the use of this river bank mud to be used on Yom Tov. Designation, of course, from before Yom Tov. Omar Ravina, the Kitma Shori. Kitma is ash. Ash is allowed to be used and mixed with water and to use that for sealing up the lid on the oven. And the idea here is that ash is not something that lends itself to being kneaded. So apparently the ash water mixture serves the function of sealing up the oven, but on the other hand, it doesn't involve the violation of kneading. V'ein makifin shtei chavios. Now, on the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei klali, a general topic heading. That means that in the upcoming section of Gemara, we'll deal in general Isur Boinu B'Yom Tov, the prohibition of construction, building things on Yom Tov. The topic at hand, Dino Shorav Nachman, the Mutter Litzadeid Avonim Shel Beis HaKisei. We're going to see the teaching of Rav Nachman that says one is allowed to position stones to serve as a seat, a commode, so to speak, for relieving oneself. So one is allowed to position the stones, enabling one to, as we said, to relieve himself. Omar, the Mishnah said, "Ein makifin shtei chovios." The Mishnah mentioned that one is not allowed to place two barrels in proximity of one another, with the eventuality of placing the pot on and between them, with the fire burning from underneath. Omar Rav Nachman, avonim shel beis hakisei, the stones that are used for a beis hakisei. Beis hakisei, in general, means a bathroom. What the Gemara is describing is a part of someone's field that he designated for relieving himself. We're talking, of course, a situation where there's no indoor plumbing, and he relieves himself out in the fields, and in order to do so, he has to sit on something. He would sit on positioned stones. So Rav Nachman says, so you're in effect making a seat, if you will, with these stones. Rav Nachman says you're allowed to do that. Avonim shel beis hakisei mutar litzadidon b'yom tov. One can position them, arrange them on Yom Tov. Eisvei Rava l'Rav Nachman. Rava raises an objection. Ein makifin shtei chovios lishvois aleihem es hagdera. But the Mishnah says you can't position the two barrels with proximity to one another with the purpose of placing lishvois, is to place a pot upon them. Like, what difference does it make if you are positioning barrels and or positioning the stones, and you will sit like the pot between the barrels? You'll be sitting between the stones. Between means upon the stones that are with a gap between them, enabling you to sit upon them. So just like there's an iser of makif and shtecha, this should be an iser of being mitzadeh the avonim of the beis hakisei. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice triangles, and on the side, these are tshuvos al kushios al Rav Nachman. These represent responses to the questions raised against Rav Nachman. So, Amar Lei, shiny hasam. The case of the barrels is different. The ka'ovid oihala. You're making an oihel. In other words, you're making a roof, because after you place the barrels near one another, you're then going to place a pot on top of them. That completes the structure, so to speak, the merci cabone structure. You first set up the sides, and then you put a roof on top of it in the form of the pot. That's what's usher. That's not the case with regard to the stones, where there's no roof. Omer le Rabo zuto le Ravashi. Elo me'ato. Well, based on your answer, that where there's no roof, things are okay. Bona itzta b'yom tov. Dolo ovid oyala. Hachay nami deshari. Imagine someone builds an itzta b'a platform. And you know how you can build a platform? You would take stones, set them up layer by layer of stones upon stones, thereby forming a cube, if you will, which would be a platform. A raised structure made of stones placed one on top of the other, and there's no gap within this block of stones. There's no gap, and there's no airspace in them of a handbreadth, which would then be covered with a layer of stones or of some other covering. It's just a solid block of stones piled one on top of the other. Are you going to say that that would be allowed to be done on Yom Tov? Of course not. But according to your standard, that it's only a problem if there is a gag, if there is a roof to it, being that there's no gap in this block of stones that forms this platform, according to your reasoning, it should be all right. And that's ridiculous. Omar Lei. So he answers, Rav Ashi answers, Hasam binyan keva Osro Torah. Binya Aroi lo Osro Torah. In the case involving the Itzdaba, the Torah, in actuality, prohibits the making of some permanent type structure, something that's designed to last. And that is the case with the Itzdaba. However, as far as the Torah is concerned, something that's not designed to be permanent, the Torah does not prohibit that. V'gozru rabbonon al binyan aroi mishum binyan keva. The rabbis imposed a restriction on that which is of a temporary nature. For example, the barrels placed near one another with the pot on top. That's a binyan aroi. And the rabbonon prohibited the making of a binyan aroi in anticipation of someone going on to make a binyan keva, a permanent type structure. The hocha, here in the case of the Beis HaKiseh, the stones, mishum kavodo, because of the dignity due to a human being, a person needs to relieve himself. If he can't do this, disparaged, disgusted. So, because there's an issue of what we call Kovod HaBrios, lo gozru be rabbonon. The rabbonon did not impose their rabbinic restrictions on temporary type structures. So therefore, the case of basic we could say is an exceptional situation. Omar Rav Yehuda, hai madurta. We should actually glance at the side before we continue the Gemara with our a subtopic heading. Derech heter basias oyel, a way of forming a structure in a permissible fashion. And that is lahaschil mi lamala, starting from roof down. That might sound unusual or strange, and that is exactly the point. If you are going to be making we'll call it the binyan aroi, which is rabbinically prohibited, but doing it in an unusual way, in the abnormal way, then the rabbinic prohibition is not binding. And now we have an illustration of this. Omar of Yehuda, in the Gemara last line, Omar of Yehuda, hai madurta. Madurta is a fireplace, a bonfire. Now, a bonfire is, before we go on, is not just a heap of logs, one just thrown one on top of the other, but rather it has a deliberate design to it. And the deliberate design of a bonfire is where you would construct walls of wood, and then once the walls of wood are constructed, you would place across the top some more wood, forming a roof. So in effect, you'd have a hollow setup, a hollow wood setup, and you would light it from within. So, what about setting up a bonfire on Yom Tov? Fire itself and burning fuel itself is something that's allowed. But what about the construction of the bonfire, setting up of the wood? How is that to be done on Yom Tov? So the Gemara says, "Hai madurta, the bonfire mi lemalo lemata shori." If you start by setting up the roof, it's much easier to understand this more if you have two or more people involved. So you'll have someone holding the logs that would constitute the top of the bonfire. So he's holding it in place, and someone else slips in underneath them the logs that constitute the sides. That's milamala, starting from the top, lamata, working your way down, shori. However, milamata, lamala, osir, starting from the bottom up, starting first making the walls and then putting the wood across the top, that would not be allowed because that's the normal way of making structures. The Gemara continues at the top of Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph, v'chein biyasa, v'chein kedera, v'chein puri, v'chein chavita. Rashi at the top explains, v'chein biyasa, Beitzim gasos, large eggs, hanesunos al pi kli cholul, that are placed on a hollow type vessel, kein tripod, o al hoaskila, or on this other type of vessel used in the context of roasting items, ein moshivin es hakli tchila v'achesarov. One is not to set up the vessel that eventually will hold the egg on its top. So one should not set up the vessel first. Eliyach zena biyado, rather hold the egg in midair. The yoshiv habeitza olav v'acha yoshiv kli al hagecholim. So that you hold the egg and then slip the vessel in underneath it and then place it on the coals. What's the point here? You're doing it in the unusual way. The usual way would be to first position the vessel that holds the egg, but first position the vessel on the coals and then put the egg on top. So that is what we're saying would not be allowed. The chen kedera, that the Mishnah mentioned, the kedera, that's the case of placing the pot on the two barrels. What we're saying here would be allowed if you would hold the pot in midair and then bring the barrels and place them underneath the pot. That would be allowed. The chen purya. Purya is a bed. You have to imagine a bed that holds, let's say, a mattress. Now, the bed is not just four legs, but the bed has sides to it. The bed on the bottom has sides to it. And upon the sides, you then place the mattress. So that we're telling you here that you would be expected to hold the top of the bed. If it's the mattress, it might be a board. You hold that in place and then slip the sides in underneath. The chen chavita. Chavita is a reference to barrels. It's the way that one sets up barrels in a storage area. Generally speaking, you would have two barrels and then a third barrel placed upon the two barrels. That's the way barrels are set up. So when you are setting up barrels, we're telling you to hold the upper barrel in place and then slip in underneath the bottom barrels. V'ein somchin es hakdera bebakas v'chein bedeles. We saw that one is not to use a log for supporting a pot, and the Mishnah also said v'chein bedeles, and so too regarding the door. And that would sound like you're not allowed to support a pot on a door. So the Gemara says, "Bedelis hakadaita." Would you have even thought in the first place of putting a heavy pot on a door? The door will smash. Eloema v'chein hadelis. Rather, the reading of the Mishnah should be that just like we don't support a pot on a log, we don't support a door on a log either. If for whatever reason you have to support a door that might be falling or whatever, and you need to support it on something, you're not allowed to use a log or a piece of wood for that purpose. As we said before, the movement of wood is allowed for fuel purposes and not for other things. As the Gemara continues, you see again a Tanaic source that quotes issues concerning the use of wood. Tonu Rabbonon, Ein somchen es hakdera bebakas, v'chein hadeles, lefi shelo nitnu eitzim ela hasoka. You can't use the log for supporting a pot, nor for supporting a door, because wood is given to Yom Tov use only as fuel. Rabbi Shimon Mati, Rabbi Shimon is lenient. He does not hold from this muktzah restriction. V'ein manhigin es habehemo b'makil b'Yom Tov, Rabbi Shimon Matir. One is not allowed to lead an animal with a stick on Yom Tov, and Rabbi Lozer, the son of Rabbi Shimon, is lenient. Lema Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, kavua sfirolei deles lemuk. So shall we say that Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon's allowance here is based on his father's opinion that the restrictions of muksa do not apply? So that if you say things in this fashion, you'd be then telling us that Rabbi Shimon would also allow leading the animal with a stick on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, lo, this is not the analysis. Behoafilu Rabbi Shimon Moideh, regarding leading of an animal with a stick on Yom Tov, even Rabbi Shimon would say you cannot do that. Moideh means he would concede to the Tanakama who is restrictive. So why would Rabbi Shimon concede to the Tanakama regarding the leading of a behemoth with a stick? Mishum de merci kamanda ozu lechingo. It looks like he is going with the animal to market, to sell the animal off in market on Yom Tov. And that would certainly be forbidden to do. So we don't want to create an impression that you're taking your animal to market. So with regard to that, should we consider the bad impression created by leading an animal with a stick on Yom Tov? So Rabbi Shimon says, I agree that that should be restricted. On the other hand, his son is lenient. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you're interested in being in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.